Toronto.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We'll be starting in a minute or two.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute so that.
No problem. Today's class is a Jewish history class. Which means that we teach history as a veil that conceals Hashem. And we need to be looking through the veil to find Hashem. We also teach, based on the times of the day, times of the year, which means we're teaching history from the Chumash itself, from the five books, and specifically this week, the two parashiyot, Tazria and Mitzora. And essentially, these classes are designed around reading from the Chumash. And the class, the parasha that we'll be reading from is Metzora. And we're in chapter 14, verse 1. We'll start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudcha Barichu Ishkinte Bidchilu Urchimu Udchilu Udchilu Urchimu Le'achta L'shem Yudhe Bavate V'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadenu Kunenei Aleinu Maasei Yadenu Kunenehu. I'm going to read the first two verses in Hebrew and then translate, and the rest of the class will be in English with maybe a few Hebrew words thrown in. Are there any questions before I begin? Vaydaber Adonai Yohei Wahei Adanu Yo Yoah Heida Wanu Heyo El Moshe Lemor Zot Tihye Torat HaMitzora V'yom Tacharato V'huva El HaKohen. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, this is the law of the leper at the time of his cleansing when he is brought to the priest. If you heard the word Torah in the Hebrew, That is the word that is being translated as law. But is the Torah the law? Does the law, when legislatures write laws, do they tell stories? The Zohar, excuse me, the Chumash is a book of stories. Why is it a book of stories? Those stories are called the Peshat level, the simple level. But they're anything but simple. They're very coded. And in this particular parasha, calling it the law of the Metzora, the law of the leper, is the Torah of the leper. This is an amazing spiritual law, spiritual lesson. It's a hint for us to understand and truly appreciate what is the Torah. To appreciate Torat HaMetzora, we need to understand why is Metzora translated as leper. It's not a good translation. The structure of the word HaMetzora is very clear. It's a noun. The he at the beginning of the word means the definite article. But then you can parse Metzora into two words. The last two letters spell the word ra, which means evil. A mem at the beginning of a word, and the he is the beginning of the word, but immediately afterward is the mem. The mem at the beginning of a word, or after a he at the beginning of the word, so it can be the second letter. The mem translates as from. If you were to ask me, where are you from? I would answer, Los Angeles. From Los Angeles. Metzora, translated, is from the righteous, from the tzaddik, from the evil tzaddik. What is an evil tzaddik? The Zohar and the Talmud make very clear the disease called tzarat, which is translated as leprosy. But it's not leprosy as we understand leprosy for the last 400 or 500 years. Tzarat is a disease of the skin. In today's world, we still have leprosy. We still have the leper colonies. We still have the lepers who in ancient times were separated away from the community. And they had to announce themselves by saying leper out loud as they walked. Why? The leper, the metzora, the person afflicted with tzarat, and in today, the person afflicted with psoriasis, which is the disease that most closely resembles tzarat. The Talmud and the Zohar tell us Tzaraat is caused by Lashon Hara, evil speech. But what is the Torah of leprosy? What is the full top to bottom, right to left, up and down and round about? All of the information you need to know about psoriasis, about Tzaraat, about leprosy. Its spiritual cause is evil speech, Lashon Hara. So what is evil speech? And we could talk about Lashon Hara for hours, days, maybe even months. The Chofetz Chaim, who was a rabbi in Russia during the Russian Revolution, and then after the communists took over from that Russian Revolution, I think he passed away in the early 1930s. He looked at his generation, he looked at our generation, and realized that leprosy was no longer in the world. Tzaraat, the spiritual disease, God stopped sending it. But the Chofetz Chaim didn't realize that by himself. It was well known for the last 1,000 years. Because people did not pay attention and do teshuvah when they received that skin disease. It was another disease like the flu. It was another disease like appendectomies. It was another disease that science, the doctors, would fix. So there was no reason for Hashem to continue to send that disease to people because they wouldn't pay attention. They wouldn't wake up. They wouldn't do teshuvah. And the Chofetz Chaim realized that that was the problem. They didn't understand what is Lashon Hara. So in a very short period of time, I'm going to speak about Lashon Hara. I'm going to explain it to you. I'm going to summarize what the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation sends out an email 6 months long, every day. A new section of the email comes out, a new section of the book, explaining the laws, the Torah of Lashon Hara. When a rabbi goes to a person who's speaking Lashon Hara, and he says, you're speaking Lashon Hara. There are two excuses that are typically sounded or said at that moment. Rabbi, it's the truth. And that is correct. Lashon Hara is always true. If it wasn't true, if it was an exaggeration, if it was worse than Lashon Hara, it would be called recluse, another Hebrew word. that really represents gossip. But Lashon Hara is 100% truthful. If it's the truth, why is it evil? The other explanation, excuse, that people would say to the rabbi is, Rabbi, I would say that to his face. I would say it to her face. Because you would say it to their face, does that make it not Lashon Hara? The answer is no. Whether you're willing to say it to their face or not, it's Lashon Hara. And the craziest example of Lashon Hara that does not make sense to anybody on its surface, but when you think about it and it is explained to you, you begin to truly appreciate how we speak Lashon Hara every day. And we need to become aware of it. We need to do the teshuvah. And you will be told, there's no way you can do the teshuvah for Lashon Hara. And I will come back to that during this class. Maybe I'll tell it to you now. The story is that a parishioner went to his rabbi. Rabbi, I did a big sin. I spoke Lashon Hara about so-and-so. I want to do teshuvah. How do I fix it? And the rabbi says, go home, take your pillow, which is made of feathers, of down feathers, go up on your roof and shake the pillowcase out where all the feathers fly away. Let the wind carry them wherever it will. So the man, the next day, comes back to the rabbi. Rabbi, I did what you told me to do. Is my teshuvah done? And the rabbi says, no. Now you need to go collect each and every feather wherever it has blown. The man looks at the rabbi and says, Rabbi, that's impossible. I can't go to all those, I don't know where it went. How do I collect them? And the rabbi said, start looking for them. Start looking where they've blown, where the stories that you said about other people, who heard them? And tell the people who heard them, whether they heard it from you, or they heard it from a third party, or a 20th party. Anyone who's heard the story, you have to go and correct their understanding of the story. And we have all played the game where you whisper something in the child's ear. You're a child sitting in the circle, and you whisper something, and then that child whispers the same thing to the next person, and by the time it comes back to you, it's totally different. It has nothing to do with what you said. I forgot the name of the game, but we've all played it. We all know the game. Lashon Hara is the truth. If I go up to two women who are talking, and I say to Betty, "That's really a beautiful outfit. You look great today." Betty thinks, "Well, that's a nice compliment. But didn't I look good yesterday when you saw me?" And Joan, who's talking to Betty, is thinking, "Why didn't he compliment me? Don't I look good today?" That compliment, that Betty looks good, is Lashon Hara. Why? Because it potentially sets up a conflict between Betty and Joan. Joan is questioning why she didn't get the compliment. Betty is feeling that she's better looking, better at a higher level than Joan. Do you think that's not going to enter their conversation when I walk away to talk to someone else? Of course it will. This is Lashon Hara. And the Chofetz Chaim goes even deeper as he looks into this, the laws of Lashon Hara. The deeper level is, why did I give only one of the women a compliment and not both? What was my motivation for that? Why didn't I think to compliment both of them? And what the Lashon Hara essence of evil is, I want to feel superior to the two women. It's not a conscious feeling. It's an unconscious feeling. But I have to be on guard for that unconscious feeling and stop myself from saying things that make me feel better than the other people. Because I'm not better than the other people. Hashem created them just as Hashem created me. This is Lashon Hara. It's the feeling that I'm better than someone else. It's an aspect of arrogance. But it's so prevalent in our society. We have to become aware of it so that we begin to stop it. And trust me, it's addicting. It makes us feel good to think we're better than the other people. We do it. We get a shot of light when we do it. Of course, we lose that light right away. Of course, we have chaos in our life from the Lashon Hara I speak. But for that moment, I feel good. And because of that, it's addicting. How does one cure Lashon Hara? How does one cure Tzarat, leprosy? One must go to the priest. Because it is a spiritual disease, we must go to a knowledgeable priest Do we have knowledgeable priests today? The temple isn't in existence. Do we have a knowledgeable priest? The answer is yes. Who is a knowledgeable priest? Remember that children of Israel are a nation of priests. Each one of the Jewish people is a priest. Each one of our friends can tell us when we are saying Lashon Hara. Why? Because they feel the effect. They feel that you're superior when you say that compliment. When you say Lashon Hara, they feel lowered. That feeling tells them this is Lashon Hara. And they can tell you, and all you have to do is ask them, did you feel lowered because I said this? But you have to ask. And the priest, according to the Torah of the Metzorah, will determine whether it is Lashon Hara or not, whether the disease is on your skin. And understand a certain aspect of Lashon Hara. If you say Lashon Hara at the beginning of your process, could be when you're a child, it could be when you're an adult. But if you're saying Lashon Hara, God does not afflict you with Sarat right away. He waits. He sees if you'll stop. He sees if you will do teshuvah. But the first place that he afflicts the spiritual disease is on the walls of your house, the inside of the house. But let's say you don't recognize that the disease is there. And you keep doing Lashon Hara. So God will send the affliction to your clothing. My mother used to put mothballs in the closet to keep the moths away from the wool. Or maybe other materials. I was never really keenly aware of it. But why did the moths attack the clothing? To tell you you were doing Lashon Hara. But let's say you didn't notice, like we don't notice these days in our generation. If the moth attacks wool, it's natural things. It's not me. I didn't cause it. But you did cause it. So you keep doing Lashon Hara, and now Hashem afflicts your body, but in a place where it's underneath your clothing, where it can't be seen, where you can wear long-sleeved blouses and shirts, where it will be in the areas of your legs that can be covered by shorts. So it's not so uncomfortable. You don't have to worry that much. And you keep doing Lashon Hara. And eventually, that affliction starts to be in places that you can't cover up, that your clothing doesn't hide. But let's say, like most of this generation, we don't recognize that we need to do teshuvah. And you keep doing lashon hara. And then the affliction will go inside your body, where it can do the most damage to your kidneys, to your liver, to your stomach, to your organs inside the body, until it kills you. God forbid. This is the Torah of the Metzora, the evil, righteous person. The righteous person is giving the compliments, but he's evil and does not know it. This is the Metzora. This is the issue of Lashon Hara. But I'm telling the truth. But you don't have to tell the truth. You can tell the truth one-on-one. You have to tell people when you see them doing something wrong. You tell them, but privately. Then it's not Lashon Hara, unless you're saying it to make yourself feel superior. That's why you look into yourself before you ever say it to anyone. There is a story told about Rabbi Brandwein, the teacher of Rabbi Berg, who was walking the streets of Haifa, where he lived, and the very famous, powerful politician named Abba Hushi was also walking the streets on a Shabbat. And Rabbi Brandwein stopped to speak with him. They said a few pleasantries, and they walked on. But I didn't tell you that Abba Hushi was smoking on Shabbat, which meant he lit a fire on Shabbat. Rabbi Brandwein knows the laws. He's a Kabbalist. It was just the two of them. Shouldn't he have told him? Rabbi Brandwein knew that if he told him, he had not yet cleansed himself of his feelings of superiority. So he didn't tell him. And a few weeks later, the same thing happened. They met on Shabbat. Abba Hushi said to the rabbi, "I want to thank you." Rabbi Brandwein says, "For what?" Abba Hushi says, "A few weeks ago we met on Shabbat and you saw me smoking. And I saw the pain in your eyes, but you didn't say anything to me. But I knew that you seeing me smoking hurt you deeply. And so I decided to stop smoking on Shabbat." You can get across the truth with body language, with facial expressions, with one-on-one conversations, after you evaluate why you need to tell this person that they're doing something wrong. And make no mistakes, if you don't tell them that they're doing something wrong, you become part of the problem. And the effect of their negative action is going to be part of your chaos. So it's imperative that you do tell them, you do show them. But you have to first be pure in your mind, in your unconscious. That the only reason you're telling them is to help them and not for you to be thought better than them, to be think of yourself as better than them. This is Lashon Hara. This is the Torah of Lashon Hara. And as I said, there are daily emails from the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation that will teach you in 6 months all of the laws, all of the Torah of Lashon Hara. And there are times when it's important that you tell the truth about somebody. I received a call from a single woman who had been introduced by a marriage counselor to a friend of mine. She wanted to know about my friend. Is this someone that she could consider as a marriage partner? After all, they were introduced by a marriage counselor. They're both looking to get married. But is this the right one? Is this a person of good character? If I don't tell the truth to those questions, I am creating a lot of chaos in other people's lives that will come back on me. But I have to learn what are the reasons. Why would I tell the person something that's unfavorable? Because the person needs to know what's unfavorable in order to determine whether they still wish to marry them. But it can't get back to my friend, can it? But if I tell the person, the lady, something unfavorable, and then she tells my friend, what do you think my friend is going to think about me? So knowing how to exchange that information is very important. And in those emails from the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, you will find those kinds of explanations. It's well worth your time to learn the Torah of the Mitzora. I think you know I could go on this subject. But I'm not. I'm going to call the class now. I'm going to ask if you have any questions on what I've said. And I wish you all Shalom Gadol. Are there any questions? Be careful with your speech. Some people say that the way to do teshuvah for Lashon Hara is just to speak directly the words of Torah to yourself, in your mind, in a whisper, constantly, so that the Torah words are constantly on your tongue. Have a beautiful evening. We have two more classes. The 4:30 class, West Coast time, is the Hebrew Zohar class. And the 7 o'clock class is questions and answers. I hope you'll call. I hope you'll join us for those classes. Shalom Gadol.
Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom.